Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start the week with Mondays with the Mayor. Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey is here to take our questions and yours. So if you live in Boston or have something Boston focused on your mind, you can ask your question at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Mayor Kim Janey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for coming. There's so much to talk about, and I want to start with some big news out of Washington today, Mayor Janey. President Biden has nominated Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins to be the next U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. If confirmed, she'd be the first Black woman to hold the position. You named DA Rollins at your swearing-in as one of the women on whose shoulders you were standing in that historic moment. So I wanted to ask you, what does it mean to you and for the city to see her so close to another big first today?
I am just so thrilled. I am so proud, not just of her, just so proud that we are here in this moment in our city's history, in our country's history, to have someone who has been a dear friend, a sister in service, a partner in justice work, to see her as, a neighbor, a Roxbury girl, make it to U.S. attorney, I think is so exciting, and it is well-deserved. Rachel has certainly served Suffolk County well as the DA, and I'm glad to see that President Biden has recognized her leadership and what she brings to the table, and I think she would make an amazing U.S. attorney.
Have the two of you had a chance to speak today by chance?
Well, I'm sure you can imagine we both have very busy schedules. I did reach out certainly to congratulate her and we'll catch up with her soon. We did meet last week and had a great discussion. Again, just she's an amazing partner in the work that I am doing as mayor of Boston. And I could not be more excited to see her leadership recognized by our president.
I'm sure you're aware that as her name was floated for the post, reformers were concerned that, you know, as a reformer in the Suffolk County DA role, for her to move out of that role could cost momentum on reforms she's been pushing. Are you concerned about that? And do you have preference on who you'd like to see appointed as an interim replacement for her?
Well, I would look at it this way. This creates an opportunity for someone else to come into leadership and to continue the good work around justice and racial equity here in Suffolk County. And so, we cannot limit a superstar such as Rachel because she has done such a good job as Suffolk County DA. She should not be penalized for that. I'm glad that her leadership is being recognized, and I think we should view this as an opportunity to have a great U.S. attorney as well as her successor being a great Suffolk County DA. And so I hope that the governor would appoint someone who will continue the good work that she has begun as the district attorney for Suffolk County.
Let's take a call. We have a caller in from Hyde Park. The number to ask Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey your questions, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dean is on the line in Hyde Park. Dean, you are on with Mayor Janey.
Thank you for taking my call. Madam Mayor, I'm a 21-year resident of Hyde Park, and I'm wondering if you could give the listening audience an update on the status of Crane Ledge Woods, which is a 24-acre parcel, one of the few remaining parcels of that size in the city. I know right now it's under severe development pressure, but there is broad support in this neighborhood to preserve this as open space. And this is not just about open space. This is about climate justice, environmental justice, social and racial justice, because we know that climate change falls disproportionately on working-class communities of color.
Dean, Thanks, Dean. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. Dean, you're absolutely right on that last point. I've heard this come up a number of times, and we'll be scheduling a walkthrough with a number of leaders in Hyde Park and residents who have raised this issue to come out there personally and see this parcel of land. And I hope you'll be able to join us when we get that scheduled.
Thanks for that. So let's stay with today's news for a minute, Mayor Janey. This morning, you formally announced a free bus pilot. It's the 28 bus links Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan. It's going to be free for 3 months beginning on August 29th. Why this bus and how will the program work?
Well, I was so excited to announce this pilot this morning. This has been something I've been advocating for a number of years. This particular bus route is the most used bus route in the entire MBTA network. It has the largest ridership. It is also a major economic corridor. Blue Hill Avenue connects three busy Main Street districts in Mattapan Square, Grove Hall, and Nubian Square. It is also an area, the neighborhoods that are covered there are also neighborhoods where some of the lower income residents of our city reside, and their main mode of transportation are buses. And we know that this is also an equity issue. And so what we hope to do with this pilot is certainly offer some economic relief for residents who ride the 28 bus, but also to learn from this pilot, to see how all door boarding could help with the speed in which buses travel through our streets, seeing if this increases ridership. We certainly need more people to seek out other alternatives as opposed to riding in cars. And so I was just really excited to offer this pilot, and I hope that we are able to take this and expand it to other bus routes.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about that. I'd love to hear the end goal, whether that is all other bus lines, some other bus lines, all of the T. I'm mindful you and Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu are both in the mayoral race. Wu has been pushing for a free T for several years now. What is your end goal here?
Well, you know, as someone who doesn't own a car and relies on public transportation, even as mayor of Boston, I still take the T as often as I can. This, to me, is a very important step forward in helping to expand fare-free buses beyond the 28 bus. And so I'm, you know, this is all going to come down to money. And as mayor of Boston, I have invested $500,000 in this pilot in partnership with the MBTA. And I hope that, you know, the lessons that we will take from this pilot will help us expand not just this bus line, but to other bus routes, particularly when we know that for Black residents, they spend 64 more hours on buses than other residents in the city. So this does have a huge impact and can make a difference in terms of our goals toward equity in the city of Boston, as well as dealing with climate justice. You know, this is important because the more people we get onto buses and out of cars, the better we are doing for our planet.
Last question on this. You talked about the $500,000 in city funds that you're dedicating to this pilot. So if this were to become permanent and or expand, what is the sustainable source of funding to offset those costs?
Well, we would definitely have to raise revenue for this, and perhaps there'll be other revenue that we can invest in the short term, but we would have to have a long-term revenue stream. And, you know, I would love to see you know, the state join us in partnership and thinking of creative ways where we could approach this and view this as an opportunity. I'd like not to think of the budgetary constraints as an obstacle, but rather an opportunity for us to figure out ways to be creative in raising some money to sustain this long term.
We are doing Mondays with the Mayor. Call with your question at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mayor Janey, we started sort of in the space of law enforcement and reform, we were talking about Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins and her potential nomination and potential confirmation as U.S. attorney. I want to come back to law reform now, police reform in particular, and I want to ask you about the Patrick Rose report. You had set June 17th as the deadline to release a report on how the Boston Police Department handled sexual misconduct allegations against Patrick Rose. Today is July 27th. Do you have a set of initial recommendations in hand, and when will you release them?
Yes, yeah, so there should be a review and recommendations coming this week. As you mentioned, late April, I asked the very new executive director, Stephanie Everett, to deliver a plan for review and reform of the police department's internal affairs procedures. It is very important that we understand what happened in terms of process all those many years ago, so this does not happen again. And so that review and those recommendations will be forthcoming this week.
Okay, and then just why now? What happened to the June 17th initial deadline?
Attorney Everett has been working on this. She's been doing a lot of research. As I'm sure you and your listeners are aware, when she was hired, she was a one-woman show, charged with not just investigating this case, but building the actual office. And she has done an incredible job, and I am looking forward to releasing her work later this week.
And do you have it in hand now, Mayor Janey?
It is in development and will be ready for review this week.
And any other updates on the work of, so OPAT, the Office of Police Accountability and Transparency, the budget funded it for a launch of July 1st, as you pointed out. You named Stephanie Everett in April. She started in May. Other updates on the work of OPAT and what's coming next for them?
Well, she continues, in addition to this investigation, she continues to build out the office and hire staff and put in place the number of recommendations that have come through that task force, including what is listed in the ordinance itself in terms of the different boards and commissions. And so at the time that we release this, we will be able to offer some additional updates on that work as well.
Okay. And last month, you formally fired former police commissioner Dennis White. You have said that you're not going to appoint a permanent replacement before the November election, but you wanted to put together a committee to start talking with residents about what they want from police leadership. Any update on that process, the committee, the conversation you want to have with residents?
Yeah, so we are pulling together a committee of folks who will help in that process. It is very important that we engage, I think, residents, as well as have some checks in terms of vetting, so that we, again, don't end up in a similar situation. And I think given where we are in police reform across our country and where we are here in Boston in terms of reimagining police, it is important to bring community stakeholders to the table for that conversation and for that work so we can do that work together.
I'd like to grab a call here, 1-800-423-8255. We have Keith on the line. Keith's calling from Lynn. Keith, you are on with Boston Mayor Kim Janey.
Hello, thank you. And I just first of all wanted to say congratulations, and I really do appreciate what you've done for the city and also what you're doing for the future generations. And you inspired me to put my name in the Lynn mayoral race this year, but I had to withdraw due to some prejudice and racial disrespect I encountered in front of my son when I was getting signatures in front of like a Market Basket and CVS's. So having said that right there, I couldn't imagine being a woman of culture, you know, because I don't like to say, you know, people of color anymore, but being especially a strong woman of culture, I couldn't imagine some of the backlash or some of the, you know, just the disrespect indirectly probably you received, and how strong mentally you must be to handle that. And I just want to say thank you for continuing to do that good fight and doing all you're doing and inspiring me. And again, as well, pretty much a lot of future generations and the current run right now. Because in this time and in space,
let's
in this
take,
social, economic...
Let's get, Keith, let's give Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey a chance to respond to what you're saying there. Thank you.
Hey, Keith, thank you so much for stepping up in your own community. As you highlight, we still have a lot of work to do all across our country when it comes to race relations and dealing with structural racism. I'm very proud to serve as the first Black mayor and the first woman mayor for my city, the city that I grew up in, and a city that I witnessed a lot of the issues that you were describing as a young girl and as a young woman. And I know that me being mayor certainly represents how far we've come, but we certainly have a lot more work to do. And so I hope you will stay at it in your own city, in your own community, and not give up.
We are in the middle of Mondays with the mayor. Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey is still with us. If you have questions, we're going to talk about COVID next. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mayor Janey, last month you, I want to switch now to COVID. This month, Delta variant on the rise, at least 35 Boston cases from the cluster that originated in Provincetown. I know there are a lot of things you are paying attention to. How are you feeling about the state of public health in the city right now?
Well, we should all be concerned to see COVID, on the rise. But I think we've known all along that COVID would be with us for quite some time. So it is an important reminder for us to continue to do the things that protect us in terms of wearing our masks, particularly when near other people who you're not sure their status, if you're indoors and can do so, certainly in all of our municipal buildings. That is part of what we are doing here in Boston. Frequent hand washing, of course. And the most important is the vaccine. We know from, those who have been hospitalized by COVID that this, it is mostly people who are unvaccinated, and the same in terms of deaths, people who have been unvaccinated. And so while there have been some breakthrough cases, our best defense continues to be the life-saving vaccine. And we continue to work hard here in the city, partnering with a number of community health centers and community groups with mobile vaccination sites to get more and more residents vaccinated. Right now, 60% of all Boston residents have received the life-saving vaccine, and we are working hard to get it out to more and more residents.
So last week, you said that all Boston Public Schools staff and children, regardless of vaccination status, would be required to wear masks in classrooms in the fall. The Boston Teachers Union backed you on it. You just mentioned that people are already wearing masks in summer school and municipal buildings. I'm sure you're aware Governor Baker has taken a different approach and said he's not going to change where the state is now and leaving that up to localities. The CDC also hasn't made that change yet. Walk us through your decision to require masks in the school year at this point.
We know that masks help protect us, and we know that for many of our young people in particular, those who are under 12 years old are not even eligible for the vaccine. And we know that masks will help keep us safe while we continue to work to vaccinate young people, students who are 12 and older. Our littlest children are not even eligible. So we need to continue to do what will keep us safe. This has been our policy ever since I reopened the city last spring, that we would have masks inside of municipal buildings. And we're going to continue with that as we continue to monitor the data and be informed by the data as we make decisions here in Boston.
Let's take a call here, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Dave on the line from West Roxbury. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mayor, you're masking up all students, even ones that have been vaccinated, which in my opinion is a mistake. It says the anti-vaxxer folks, the people who are hesitant, that it really doesn't work. It maybe works, but it doesn't work good enough, so maybe I'm not going to get it. But my question is, if after the CDC approves it for use for kids, elementary school kids, and it's been a sufficient amount of time for people to get vaccinated, are you going to take the mask mandate off then, or are you going to require staff or students to be vaccinated before they can return to school?
So thank you so much for your question. It isn't about whether it works or not. It is not relying on the honor system, nor asking people to show proof that they have been vaccinated. So just as we allow all of our school children to eat a school lunch without proving that they are income eligible for it, we are going to have the same approach to remove any kind of stigma when it comes to wearing masks. And we know that masks help protect us. And so we will just continue to do those common sense things that keep us safe.
You know, schools are kind of one of the nexus points for so much around COVID policy, Mayor Janey. And I think back, you know, to March 2020, schools shut down for a while, we thought, and then they were shut down for a very long time. People so relieved to be thinking about schools back in person in the fall, the Delta variant frightening a lot of people. Do you have a dashboard or a set of metrics that you are watching on which you'll make future decisions about how to tack, right, as we continue to see new variants, as cases, they're spiking now, as vaccinations increase? What are you going to be watching, and how will you think about decisions around schooling in a systematic way?
You know, it is important for us to all recognize that this is, in fact, the third school year that is being impacted by COVID-19. And so it has been very difficult for our young people, for our parents, for our educators and our administrators in our school. We look at a number of metrics in the city of Boston, in addition to the positivity rate and the sheer number of cases and tests. We certainly look at the hospitalization, we look at ICU, we look at a number of metrics, and it is important that we continue to be informed by the data. My public health team, Chief Martinez, the Chief of Health and Human Services, as well as the Public Health Commission, review this data on a regular basis, and we review it as a full team regularly as well. We will, as always, be informed by the data and make decisions based on what the data are telling us. And so I commend certainly parents and educators in particular, who I'm sure are very fatigued, and certainly our students, who have demonstrated such resiliency, dealing with a global pandemic. And I applaud the efforts of the superintendent and everyone who is working very hard to make sure that our school buildings will be ready to receive students this fall.
And what is your message to those who are still hesitant to get the vaccine, Mayor Janey? You must run into people as you're doing your work throughout the city. What do you tell people?
You know, it is, I understand that people may have questions or fears, and I try to connect them to trusted sources of information that might help alleviate those fears or make an informed decision. It is very clear from what we are seeing with those who are being infected by COVID, those who are being hospitalized, and those who sadly continue to die from this deadly virus, that the vaccine is our best defense. And so we are getting to a point where you can choose to get vaccinated or unfortunately run the risk of contracting this deadly disease. And I am hopeful that, people will take the time to do their own research, talk with their doctors, their clergy, whoever they need to speak with, to make an informed choice for themselves that would protect them and their loved ones. You know, there are a number of children, again, who are not eligible for the vaccine. There are a number of seniors who, fortunately, the numbers are much higher. We have, for everyone in Boston 75 and up, that vaccination rate is 90%. But it is important that we take the steps necessary to protect ourselves and really battle this pandemic. Otherwise, it will continue to mutate.
We've been talking. I'm sorry, I lost your sound there for a second. I thought you were done with the sentence. I want to move on a little bit. We've been talking some about schools. And last week you swore in two new school committee members, Lorena LaPera, the Massachusetts Executive Director of Latinos for Education, and Rafaela Polanco Garcia, Director of Parent Engagement and Organizing at St. Stephen's Youth Programs, which serves BPS students. Tell us a little more about those two as your picks, and what you hope they bring to the committee.
You know, I could not be more thrilled to announce two superstars to the Boston School Committee. They each bring a lived experience, a skill set, a deep, deep commitment to education, to young people in our school system. They are both BPS parents. Lorena came here to the United States undocumented and worried for herself and her family, not quite understanding what that all meant and the need to have a green card. She has just contributed so much as the leader of Latinos for Education and brings so much to the body. Rafaela is more recently arrived to Boston from the Dominican Republic. Her primary language is Spanish, and she will need a support in terms of interpretation and translation on the Boston School Committee. She has already demonstrated her deep commitment to education as a parent organizer, and how we support her will help us move the Boston Public Schools forward in terms of how we engage with so many families in Boston. You know, more than half of the students live in households where English is not the first language. We have a large number of English language learners in BPS, and Spanish is the second largest language group after English. And so both women just bring so much and will help us move the school department and ultimately education for our kids forward. So I am just really thrilled and proud of their leadership and what they bring to the Boston School Committee.
So Mary Janey, they joined the committee after former school committee chairwoman Alexandra Oliver Davila and member Lorna Rivera resigned after text messages between them were leaked to the press. And those messages exchanged the night of the vote. This was the vote last October to suspend the exam school's admission test for the fall of 2021. And they had some disparaging content about white West Roxbury parents. A federal judge was later upset with the city for not including those texts and materials submitted as part of a lawsuit over that decision. You were not sworn in until the end of March. When did you find out that the city's lawyers hadn't included the texts? And what was your reaction? How did you handle it?
You know, I'm not sure why those messages were not shared last fall. As you mentioned, I was not the mayor at that time. For me, though, it is very important that we are prioritizing transparency here in the city of Boston. And so under my administration has released all of those text messages. And it is important that we are able to move our city forward and certainly our school system forward. And I think the appointments of Lorena and Rafaela help us do that.
I am looking outside my window and it's sunny, and that is such a relief after a July of constant rain. You know, you are running a city, you're running a campaign, you probably aren't getting much chance to soak up the sun and get any R&R, but are you going to get a chance to take a break this summer? And if so, what are you going to do?
I don't think I will have a break in terms of the traditional vacation, but I was very proud to launch the Joy Agenda this summer for all of us. We've all been so devastated by COVID. Many residents have been living in isolation and in fear. And the Joy Agenda really reminds us of what is important in terms of reconnecting and reimagining and renewing our city. Everything from concert series in our parks and movie nights for families, the different sporting events in terms of Little League and the Mayor's Cup are all underway. And it has been great to see so many folks being able to enjoy the outdoors. We're doing a series of coffee hours and just an opportunity to rebuild and reconnect with each other. So I do hope, even though I can't take a traditional vacation, to spread some joy and to be joyful with residents all across our city in every single neighborhood.
And just in a word, where are you getting your joy right now?
Oh, I get joy in the smiles and laughter of my grandchildren. I get joy from visiting community gardens, from speaking with our seniors all throughout Boston, eating in these amazing restaurants, even though my clothes are fitting a little tight now. You know, I get joy all over the city of Boston. It has been just the honor of my life to serve and to connect with residents all across our city. And I find joy in those conversations and hearing of people's hopes and dreams for the city of Boston.
That is Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey joining us for our monthly Mondays with the Mayor. Mayor Janey, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Really appreciate the opportunity.